We will never fully understand the Christian life until we first understand grace. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell helps us understand not just what grace is, but how to experience it.
Daniel was a man who, even though he was distinctively godly, he keeps getting promotions. People notice him. Don't let the devil tell you you have to always go out and get drunk with the other guys in order to get a promotion. You know how to get a promotion? Please, God. God knows your address.
Life is full of opportunities to make mistakes, occasions to feel guilty, and the pressure to be self-sufficient. But this isn't how God intended the Christian life to be. In our series, Portraits of Grace, we will discover what it means to receive a second chance from the Lord. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Today, we will learn more about Bible characters who were portraits of God's amazing grace. No matter your circumstance, God's sustaining grace will help you when you need it the most. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Grace to Stand.
How many of you guys and gals would like to have a good testimony, right? All right? You don't want them putting on your tombstone, "A bum lies here." It's like the guy that went to the preacher and he said, "Hey, preacher, I know my brother was a robber and he cussed and he was terrible, but, could you just say something nice about him at his funeral? Could you just say that he was a good guy? He said, "If you do, I'll give you some money for the building program at the church." Well, the pastor wasn't dumb. He took the money. And at the funeral, he said, "I just want to say that this guy was a good guy, although he was a robber and a thief," and he went right down through the line. You know, the fact of the matter is everybody wants something nice said about them, but we have to live the right way for that to be done. You see, sometimes God will allow a test in your life so that you can have a testimony. Sometimes he will allow a mess so that you can have a message. Sometimes God will bring certain things into our lives so that we have the opportunity to stand up for him. And the Bible says something amazing, and I want everybody to look at this in verse 4. "The presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion or fault." Now just think of that. So they're looking at the guy. Okay, is he late to work? No. Is he flirting with women over there at the water fountain? No. Is he looking at bad stuff on the computer? Check his Facebook. No. It's all about God. It's all about, "Take me back to Jerusalem." Come on, folks, use your imagination with me just a little bit, okay? They looked everywhere they could to find fault against him, and it says they could find nothing. How about you? I mean, if someone was really after you and they looked and looked and looked, what is it that they would find? And if there is an "it," come and repent of it this morning. It's like the old Baptist preacher, J. Frank Norris. He stood up on a Sunday morning. He said, "Next Sunday, I will preach a message about the three men in this church cheating on their wives." 17 men came for appointments that week. Please, don't. What if someone really put the scope in on you like they did Daniel? The Bible says they couldn't find anything. How many of you would agree with me? This guy's got a great testimony. Are you with me on that one? I mean, what a testimony Daniel had. Daniel had a wonderful testimony. There was no fault found in him. He was faithful. And then I want you to see finally this jealous trap that they set. They said, "We can't catch him on his testimony. He's clean." And so the Bible tells us, here in verse number 6, they assembled together to the king and they said to the king, "King, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes and counselors and the captains have counseled together." By the way, that was a lie. All the counselors had not gotten together. Daniel wasn't invited to that meeting, was he? But they said, all the counselors got together, verse 7. He says, now, verse 8, "Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth it. Wherefore, King Darius, sign the writing and the decree." So you know the story. They said, "We've all set this up. And we want you to pass this law by the law of the Medes and the Persians that nobody can pray to any god, Darius, except you, because you, King Darius, live forever, King Darius. You are worthy of prayer. No other god. And Darius is in a moment of like, oh yeah, I'm not such a bad guy. All right, where do I sign, right? And he signs the law. It's now the law of the Medes and Persians. Well, Daniel has a choice to make. And I don't think it's far-fetched to think that there could be laws passed someday in our country that would discriminate against our faith. Like, don't pray for your lunch at a restaurant. Don't take a Bible to work. You know, whatever. These types of things. The law is passed, if you will. And I want you to notice, if you're taking notes, secondly, an earnest determination. I want you to see what Daniel does in verse 10. Everybody look at verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed. Let's read that part together. Ready, begin. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled down upon his knees there 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Now notice, this man has a planned prayer. Daniel knew that this had been signed. I think we need to live like the apostles of old who said in Acts 5:29, we ought to obey God rather than men, right? They said, sign the law that no one can pray except to Darius. Daniel sees the law. He does what he always had done since he was a little boy, as a child growing up, and all these 65 years in Babylon. He throws the windows open of his house, and he begins to pray to God, and he begins to call out to the Lord. And I just want to say, prayer is the difference between the best you can do and the best God can do. And Daniel wanted to see what God can do. And I just want to pause to say, don't ever be ashamed of God. And I know some of you might be newer Christians, but may I just challenge you? It's okay when you're at Denny's, or when you're at In-N-Out, or when you're at Taco Bell. It's okay to pray. Let's say that together. It's okay to pray. It's okay to be public. I don't mean obnoxious, but it's okay just to pause and say, Lord, we give you thanks for this food. Bless our family and use us today. In Jesus' name, amen. It's okay to be public about your faith in God. You say, well, we don't do that. Well, neither does my dog, Lucy. She just goes right in and starts eating. And that's how some of you are at dinner time, you know? I mean, mom can barely get down. And I know someone's going to tell me after the service, our dog does pray, Pastor Chapel. We taught him. All right. You say, are you making a mountain out of a molehill? No, I'm just trying to challenge you. Don't be ashamed of God. And that taco or that hamburger came from the Lord. So go ahead. It doesn't matter what people in Taco Bell. They need to see there's still Americans who believe in a God. Say, well, it's a little embarrassing. Some of you teenage boys, you know, we'll do it with dad, but hey, when it's just us, it's kind of like, oh, okay, all right, let's see. Just pause and thank the Lord. Daniel knew the law. Daniel opens up the window, and he begins to pray to God. It was a public prayer. It was an intercessory prayer. And the Bible says he's praying toward Jerusalem, and I put into your notes 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verses 36 through 39, and you can read this passage later, but basically it's a passage where Solomon says, Lord, if we ever get away from you, and we probably will, then Lord, if we pray toward Jerusalem, will you bring us back? Lord, if we're ever out in some foreign land because we disobeyed, if we pray to Jerusalem, can we come back home? And Daniel knew that passage, so he's praying toward Jerusalem. God, you said if our hearts were repentant and if we had a heart for you, that you'd bring us home. And for 65 years, he prayed that prayer, and it didn't matter which president signed the dotted line. He wasn't going to stop doing what God told him to do. Wow, we need some Christians like that today. He just did what God told him to do. By the way, I'm not talking now about mealtime prayers, but some of you have been saved 20, 30, 40 years. How's your prayer life? I mean, do you have a time at least once a day? Daniel had three times a day. But are you still talking to the Lord like you did when you first got saved? Because he sure wants to hear from you. And Daniel just had this prayer life that we can all learn from this morning, a habitual prayer life. And I want you to notice also in verse 10, did you see what it says there? It says at the last, as he did aforetime. Would you say that with me? As he did aforetime. Now look right here. This was not a foxhole prayer. He didn't just say, oh, I'm in trouble, I better pray. Right? This was just what he did all the time. As he did aforetime. This is what he did when he was a child. Moms and dads, your children, they're going to go off to a secular job. They're going to go to a secular college. Even some Christian colleges are filled with wickedness. Have you prepared them from childhood for this event in their life? I want you to see the note here from Fyodor Dostoevsky. Notice what he says. The second half of a man's life is made up of the habits he acquired during the first half. So I just want to pause to tell you my theory. I believe Daniel was a praying man in Babylon because his parents taught him how to pray in Judah. And so if you're a Sunday school teacher of the fourth grade, or if you have junior age children and sometimes you want to pull your hair out, I just want to tell you, keep instilling within them what you're giving them, because when they're in Babylon, they're going to need to remember what you taught them. Can I get an amen from one daddy? Daniel was just doing what daddy taught him to do, what he did aforetime. It was his habit to do this. And so we see a planned prayer. But then notice, secondly, a prepared persecution. You know the story in verse 11. These men assembled, and they found Daniel praying and making supplication. You can just see these little wimps. Oh, there he is. He's praying. Oh, look at that. He's got a Bible. He's praying. He's got the window open. Oh, we get to go tell the king. And so they're plotting against him. And there are those that plot against God's people even today. A man was giving a speech in India back in 2009. Faiz Rahman was his name. He was with the Good News Good News of India. Long story short, in his speech he said, the going price from Hindu militants on the head of a Christian pastor is $250. And we tell our kids, eat your food. There's kids in Africa that don't have food, and sometimes it just goes over their backs. But there are people today in America, in the world around us, that are suffering for their faith. And Daniel was one of them. And it may be that you will be one someday. But here we learn that they were preparing a persecution for him. They assembled round about him. Now the Bible says they bring him into this pit, and they not only throw him in the pit, but they put a seal upon the pit. And they're establishing that he has been charged and found guilty with this crime. But I want you to notice finally this morning, not only this evil declaration, not only his determination to pray, but I want you to see an exceptional deliverance. I want you to see what God does for his children when they're captive. We see Daniel now. The Bible tells us that he is in the den. Notice verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. I just want you to think about this for a minute, because sometimes, you know, we think, well, this is like a Bible story. That means it's kind of like Disneyland. No. This is a Bible story. That means it's real. And Daniel is thrown in with a bunch of these lions, according to the Word of God. And we all know that no human person could rescue him from this. It would have to be God and God alone. I want you to notice a concerned king. The Bible tells us about King Darius in verse number 18. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. I just want to pause to say, because we live in such a vitriolic day, and the news anymore is just so hateful and so, I mean, they'll take a story and dissect a word and this and that, and make a story out of nothing, and it's crazy. It's just been unbelievable. And sometimes as Christians, we're like, what's going on? The world's falling apart, all this type of thing. Can I just tell you something? God is in control. Let's just say that, shall we? God is in control. Our God is still an awesome God, and I want you to understand. We say, well, Pastor, why are you saying that? Because Darius was not a born-again Christian, all right? You would not have voted for Darius, okay? He wasn't pro-life. You don't throw people in the lion's den for praying if you're pro-life. He wasn't all of these things, right? He was a wicked man. The normal routine at night, bring in the women, bring in the music, bring in the food. Doesn't happen on this night. He can't sleep. He doesn't want the food. He doesn't want the party. And why is that significant? It is significant because the Bible says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And when God wants to change something in someone's heart, doesn't matter how powerful their office is, he'll get it done. If God wants a president to help out and favor a man like Daniel, God can do that. And that's exactly what God is doing. That's why I say again, you may be in an ungodly circumstance. You may not like policies in the military. And there may be many who are adamantly against your faith. But I'm just here to tell you that God is still in control. And God touches Darius's heart to the point that this man cannot sleep. He's fasting. In fact, verse 20 tells us that when he comes to Daniel, he has a lamentable voice. That means he was afflicted. It's kind of funny in verse 20 because he says to Daniel, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, O Daniel, watch this, servant of the living God. Now, sometimes when we hear politicians talk like that, we're like, whoa, maybe they're saved, you know. And I just want to just do a sidebar here, and we invite politicians to our church when we honor the law enforcement, and maybe at other special times we invite Republicans and Democrats. Mostly normally the Republicans come, but everybody's welcome to the party. And here we see an illustration, because when politicians come, sometimes they talk God talk, like, you know, oh, you know, without God where would we be? Or, well, they might say, well, I remember one time when I was born again. And they're talking about like indigestion they had once and it got better, you know. And sometimes we as Christians are a little gullible. We go, oh man, he must be a believer. That's wonderful. He talks about the living God. Well, just to put a little illustration before you, Darius talked about the living God, but did not believe in the living God. And you can talk about God and you can say born again and you can even quote from the Bible. But until you turn to Jesus Christ as a sinner and confess to him that you know you're a sinner and that only his blood can cover your sin, and until you ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior, I don't care how much religious jargon you use, you are not saved and on your way to heaven until you trust Christ as your Savior. And so, you know, Darius is like, you know, the living God, Daniel, how's he doing there for you? How are we doing, Daniel? This was not a profession of faith, but he was a concerned king, and God made him to be concerned. Notice, secondly, a protected prophet. Verse 21, Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. I don't know why they always said that. Sounds good, doesn't it? Nobody ever does, but they like to say it. Only those in Christ will live forever. O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me. Don't you just love this? For as much as there is innocency found in me, he says, was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Listen, this was a protected prophet. These lions lost their appetite. And here is Daniel, protected from a personal God. He confidently replies, and I love what he says in verse 22. My God, can you say that with me? My God. And I don't mean, don't say that tomorrow in a slang language. Hey, don't let your children say my and the word God just in slang. That's not good. We don't take God's name in vain. But isn't it good that we can say he's my God? And Daniel said, I have a personal God, Darius. He's my God. My God has delivered me. Do you have a personal God? I'm not talking about my church. I'm not talking about my pastor. I'm not talking about my priest. I'm asking you, do you know God? Do you have a relationship like that so that you can say, well, my God and I were talking today and I read from his word today. It's as if he knew God and he says, I have a personal God. Daniel 3, the Hebrew children said, if it so be, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. And there you hear it again. Our our God. He's able to do this. We know him. Our God is our deliverer. Psalm 18:2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. Hey, I don't know what evil you're facing today, and I don't know what addiction you're facing today, and I don't know what intolerant culture is threatening you today, and I don't know what friends are telling you they're not going to be your friends anymore, or what company's telling you you're not going to get a promotion that way. I don't know what's going on in your life. I just know this: our God is able to deliver those who serve him with a pure heart. And if he protected his prophet Daniel, he can protect you. And the Bible says in Psalm 40:17, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, oh my God. I just thank God today I serve the same God that Daniel served. My God delivered me. I can look back over my life and see so many times when the Lord brought me through. No counselor, no financial assistance, no friend, no other person or way was going to get me through that one. But I can tell you this, my God is able to deliver. And that's what Daniel is saying. David Livingstone returned to Scotland for a furlough, and he was speaking to his supporting church there. His arm was bandaged from an attack he had experienced with a lion in Africa where he was a missionary. He spoke to the church and said, would you like me to tell you what supported me all through these years of exile amongst a people whose language I could not understand and whose attitude towards me was always uncertain and often hostile? He said, I will tell you what brought me through. The words, lo, I am with you always. He will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. So what do you walk into tomorrow? Do you walk into a hostile job place? Do you walk back into a marriage that's uncertain? Do you walk into debt? Do you face some challenge physically? What is it that you walk into? I tell you, it does not matter if you can say, my God goes with me. My God is able to deliver me. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. In fact, notice in verse 23, the complete manner of this. The king was exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. Listen, not only did they not eat him, he didn't have a scratch on him. Our God had completely delivered him. Now, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, those that would bring some type of a trick like this upon the king would suffer the consequences. Darius now realizes what these other princes have done. Notice in verse 24, the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast him into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them. Now, to give a translation, they had a resumption in their appetite. When Daniel was in the lion's den, they're like, you know what? We just had those In-N-Out burgers, and I'm still full from the pepperoni pizza. And all of that Cold Stone ice cream. The thought of eating that prophet, I just don't want to eat the prophet. I can't have another bite. I'm sorry, Daniel. But after all this rigmarole and finding out what had happened, and those lions, they woke up just like the lion at the zoo, and the Bible says they had the mastery of these men.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you visit or live in Southern California, we would love for you to be our guest at Lancaster Baptist Church, Sunday mornings at 8:30 or 11 o'clock. You can find out more about our times and locations when you visit LancasterBaptist.org. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story.
Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at allchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.